So that's kind of what we do. So, you know, you can find us at upperhandfantasy.com. We're heavy on Instagram at upperhandfantasy. You can follow me at Faraz Siddiqui, F-A-R-A-Z-S-I-D-D-I-Q-Y on Twitter. We're also on Twitter at UpperhandFFB. So you can kind of follow us anywhere, you know, on Instagram, shoot me a DM. You know, I'll be glad to answer any questions, or if you just want to say hi.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Schreck, and joining me tonight, we have a very special guest, Faraz Siddiqui, coming from upperhandfantasy.com. Faraz, how are you doing today?
Doing great. I really appreciate you having me, Nick.
It's great to have you here. We love talking with other fantasy analysts around the, you know, really around the community as a whole, because it really gives us a different perspective. You know, we pride ourselves on kind of just being brutally honest, and sometimes we forgo the stats because we follow our gut, and it gets us into trouble, gets me into trouble, but we're glad to have you here. But Faraz, before we jump into it, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, ViewPicks, the revolutionary app that allows you to play fantasy football live while watching the game on TV. Predict the plays, the results of the play, and literally play fantasy football. You can sign up for the beta now by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/ViewPick. So, all right, guys, we're going to talk with Upper Hand Fantasy. We're going to let them tell you a little bit about what they've got going on. We're going to talk some NFL news and really fantasy, because we're going into one of the biggest weekends of the year, arguably, for fantasy football draft. So, Faraz, take it away. Tell us a little bit about Upper Hand Fantasy.
Thanks a lot, Nick. So, you know, I started Upper Hand Fantasy late last year. And basically what we're trying to do is, you know, we have a lot of content going out on all these different platforms. And what we want to do is kind of really not only just inform, you know, all the fantasy football players of, you know, who to start, who to draft, but we kind of really want to explain why. You know, what's the mindset of why are we picking this guy over that guy? Why are we drafting this guy over that guy? And, you know, and we've seen it, right? You know, fantasy analysts get very busy, and it's hard to maintain, you know, that sort of relationship. But I think it's important to empower everybody to make these decisions. So, you know, in the fantasy football community, as we grow, as we play fantasy football over the years, we're just more engaged. All the fantasy football players know why they're starting certain players, why opportunity is more important than talent, for example. You know, why it's important to look at ADP and realize who is of value versus somebody who's being drafted at their ceiling, for example. So we kind of want to go through all that. So, you know, we post a lot of content, you know, over about draft strategy, about who to draft, and once the season starts, about who to start, who to sit, you know, all of these type of things. But more importantly is we kind of try to explain why. So that's kind of what we do. So, you know, you can find us at upperhandfantasy.com. We're heavy on Instagram at upperhandfantasy. You can follow me at Faraz Siddiqui, F-A-R-A-Z-S-I-D-D-I-Q-Y on Twitter. We're also on Twitter at UpperhandFFB. So you can kind of follow us anywhere, you know, on Instagram, shoot me a DM. You know, I'll be glad to answer any questions, or if you just want to say hi. Kind of what we do. I appreciate you letting me explain that, Nick.
Yeah, of course, man. It's great to have you here. And I mean, you know, I think partially what we kind of do here is we're kind of the yin and the yang, because, you know, like I said in the intro, we sometimes get a little wrapped up in, you know, our guts and kind of just throwing things out there. And, you know, that's how we are. We're upfront with people about, you know, we're brutally honest in that respect. And sometimes we're biased, you know, where you come in with a little bit more of why. And it's extremely important, because it is overlooked by a lot of people, especially, you know, when I'm sure you talk about it with recency bias and everything else, where people just, they get locked up into, you know, this guy was bad last year, so he's going to be bad.
Exactly. And it's human, right? It's human nature. You know, that's what happens. If somebody burned us last year, we're going to try to stay away this year. But it's important to enter every year with a fresh mindset to analyze what the team looks like, you know, what the player's role is, what the opportunity is on every year on a week-to-week basis.
Yes. And that's a thing that, you know, I think a lot of people, like you said, they overlook, is that it's a weekly game. You know, everyone wants to believe it, you know, because DFS is separate and you play week by week and change your lineups. You know, really regular fantasy football is a weekly game as well, because if you don't win week to week and change your lineup, you're screwed. You know, and we alluded to that in the beginning a little bit when we talked about how many leagues we're in and managing everything, because, you know, again, we've tried to pull back a little bit here. Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where we want to be involved in every league out there that all you guys reach out to us about, but we're going to end up being the owner who doesn't contribute. And then it's just kind of like, well, that kind of sucks. So don't overload yourself down, I think is the point.
Right. Yeah, it really is. And you know, the draft is just part of fantasy football, right? It's very important, obviously, and that's why we study so much to draft well. But it's only about 25 to 30% of why you succeed in the league and whether you win the championship. You know, a lot of it is your waiver wire additions. A lot of it is start-sit decisions. That's equally as important. And I think it's a lot of people might draft and they kind of like dwindle down in their in how much they're involved in their league. So I think it's important to kind of stay consistent throughout.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things we don't think we're going to have out this year, unfortunately, but we want to push out is quite a few listener leagues to kind of pull people together from you guys, from Upperhand Fantasy, from people that are listening, because a lot of people jump into these random leagues on Yahoo, we'll call it the NFL, the big networks. And like you said, they get lost because sure. They go in, they play with random people who are pumped for a week or two. And then they're just like, well, my team stinks, or, you know, I just picked all the Jets because I like the Jets. right. And they get a bad taste in their mouth. And yeah.
Especially if you pick all the Jets.
Well, definitely if you pick all the Jets, especially with just their own doing, and then the injuries take away really any sliver of hope that you really have.
Not the year.
No, not the year. And the year is going to be a few years away, I think, at the very least.
For sure.
But for us, who's your favorite NFL team?
I'm a Jets fan.
You're a Jets fan. Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought you were doing that on purpose. I thought there was something going on. I'm a Jets fan. I'm excited for this 1-15, 0-16 season. It's the only way to get this moving for us to, you know, kind of get that quarterback next year, hopefully.
Yep.
And just build from there. You know, this is the way to do it. I'm glad we're not building another mediocre team, you know, so.
Fair enough. I mean,
I think this is the
Okay, I can get on board with that. Again, yeah, no, I had no idea you were a Jets fan, so that's just a funny coincidence.
This year, dominate your friends with free play-by-play fantasy football from ViewPig. ViewPig is the first play-to-play fantasy football game where you crush your friends from the comfort of your own couch. For the first time in fantasy football, you must think like the players and coaches on the field as you predict the outcome of every play. Visit ViewPig.com. VUPIQ.com and sign up now for an invitation to beta test.
The Jets, with the fluidity. But all right, Froz, let's take a quick break and we're going to come back. We're going to talk some of the big injuries that have happened recently. Some draft strategy as we head into one of the biggest weekends of the year. But real quick, guys, we're going to hear from ViewPick. All right, guys, and we're back, and we are here to talk some NFL news. And I think we can talk a few big injuries for us, but let's start with Spencer Ware. He goes down for the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously huge because people had drafted him, then the injury news came out. We didn't really know what was going to happen, and now we're looking at Kareem Hunt. Really, he has the job. It's the workload. I'm trying to see where his ADP has moved, but he looks like, according to Fantasy Football Calculator, a 7th pick in the 5th round. That's up almost 2.5 rounds from August 26th. So pretty big movement.
Yeah, it's pretty big movement. I mean, and in PPR, he's going at the end of the 3rd round right now in Fantasy Football Calculator. Okay. So, and you know, it looks like he's going to get that 3 down load. I mean, Charcandrick West is going to come in and most likely give him a little bit of help there. But it looks like it's Kareem Hunt show at this point.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you get him at the end of the 3rd round, early 4th round, I think that's great. It's just good value. There's not too many running backs that you can get at that point who's playing a 3-down workhorse role. And in an Andy Reid offense, he gets a lot out of his running backs. We've seen it from time and time again. We've seen it from LeSean McCoy. We've seen it from Jamaal Charles. You know, these type of backs who are involved on every down can get it done. And in the 4th round, that's a steal in my opinion. I don't mind drafting him a little bit earlier if you need to reach for somebody, because there isn't too many backs like that in the 3rd round.
Yeah.
I might draft him a little bit, maybe before Isaiah Crowell, maybe after Todd Gurley, something like that. just because how much I like the offense. You know, the good thing about Crowell is that he's going to get a lot more third down opportunity this year because of Duke Johnson moving into the slot a little bit more. But, you know, that's kind of a give or take. It depends who you like. But I do like him, you know, as he's one of my favorite rookie running backs this year because of opportunity. He might not be the most talented, but it looks like at this point his opportunity is locked and loaded for the year.
I agree. I mean, and I'm a Chiefs fan, so I was kind of torn giving advice between Ware and Hunt and who's going to hold the job before all this and, you know, with their values. But obviously, you know, I liked Ware. It sucks to see him go down. But I agree with Hunt at his price and the workload that they're going to give him. You have to. I mean, running back is such a shit show from, like, depending on your opinion, LeSean McCoy, and then it kind of drops off into a free fall based on, do you like Gurley? Do you believe in McCaffrey? And, you know, where are you taking Zeke?
Exactly. And I'm looking at opportunity at that point, right? I mean, Gurley, the reason why I say Gurley before Hunt is just because we know he's going to get a ton of opportunity. Yes, he underperformed last year with all those touches he got. You know, he barely hit a, you know, he is just a guy who's, you know, you're either on him or you're not.
Yes.
But you can't deny the workload. And that's what we have to look at when you're talking fantasy football. If you want to project for a season, you got to look at workload and see how much work he's going to get. So that's kind of the reason why I'm going there.
Yeah, I have no qualms with that. I've talked to a few people, you know, Instagram and other places I'm reaching out. And it seems to be, like you said, what fantasy football calculators showing there right at the end of the third round for PPR and where people are taking him because it just straight up makes sense. I mean, you know, you talk about workload. I look at the other rookies. You look at Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, you know, are their offenses better, worse? What is their workload actually going to be? You know, their prices to me are insane. They're insane. I'd rather pay for Hunt. I get the hype, but I won't do it.
I agree. You know, and you know, people might take that from you as a hedge because you're a Chiefs fan.
Of course.
But at the same time, I agree with you. I rather have Hunt than any other rookie running back.
Yep.
Even more than Leonard Fournette. You know, do we know what Leonard Fournette's role is going to be? Yeah, sure. He's going to be the workhorse. But is TJ Yeldon going to get those third downs?
Yeah.
Is Fournette's foot healthy? Is Chris Ivory going to mix in a little bit? I hope not. But, you know, we've seen weird things come out of that offense. And you don't want a running back on a Blake Bortles offense. Yeah, they want to run the ball. But why not go with a guy on a better offense who's going to get the same type of work?
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey, he's sharing it with Jonathan Stewart. If you've seen his last third preseason game, they were going in and out. They were sharing the workload almost evenly. Christian McCaffrey was not lining up in the slot. So we don't know when that's going to happen, if that's going to happen. And if it does, of course, McCaffrey takes a bump in PPR. But we just haven't seen it yet. So at this point, when we draft, we have to look at those types of things. Dalvin Cook has that opportunity. You know, it seems like he has the biggest workload. But you never know when Latavius Murray comes back. How is he going to fit into that offense? So, you know, there's a lot of questions.
I agree. And, you know, like we talked about earlier on, the recency bias. You know, everyone watched Zeke come out as a rookie and be a stud. Is there a chance for, you know, again, I like Hunt's opportunity and everything else there, but are the odds that all, whatever, four of these guys are going to outperform their ADP or at least perform at their ADP? I don't think it's likely. So, you know, everyone is way too, I think, locked in. I'm like, well, Zeke did it. Yeah, Zeke did it. Behind a great offensive line. He's a great talent. Are all four of these guys going to do that? I think it's crazy to think they are.
It was a perfect storm for Zeke last year. The Cowboys had a really good defense, you know, decent enough. They had a great offensive line. Dak Prescott didn't turn over the ball. It was just a perfect storm for him. You know,
absolutely.
And so I think it's a totally different scenario. Awesome offense. And Zeke is such a great talent, too. I mean, it's just all of that kind of came together for them last year.
Speaking of Zeke, I do want to ask you, what do you think about his price right now? It's the sixth pick in the second round. We're talking redraft leagues because I've talked to some people that, again, they're all over the board. I guess it's your risk tolerance. For me, it's too rich. But, you know, I've talked to people that love it. So what are your thoughts on a redraft? Because as of now, he's still suspended six games.
He is. And second pick of the sixth, that's a little bit risky for me. I've drafted him in a couple of redrafts in the third round.
Okay.
I like having two guys, two stalwarts on my team before I draft Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of has been my rule of thumb. Now, if you love Zeke and you know you're going to get Darren McFadden later, you know, everybody knows their league best.
Yep.
And if you can get Darren McFadden later, seventh round, sixth round maybe, something like that, then, you know, go for it because you know that you're going to have good production. That we've seen Darren McFadden this preseason. he's getting all the snaps. He's getting first, second, and third down. So he's going to have the opportunity. He's going to be running behind a good offensive line, and he'll be just fine. He's not Zeke, so he's not going to give you those crazy games. But his opportunity in that offense, they want to run the ball, is huge, and you're going to get good numbers. You should be able to get decent RB1 numbers from McFadden. Yeah. So I personally am waiting until maybe the early third round, something like that. If I'm at the early turn of the third round, I'm going to target Zeke.
Fair. I think that's kind of been what I've seen when I've done a few mocks where I've watched people that were in that like 1-2-3 slot where they get their stud in round one. It's not really the question mark. And then coming back, they get their two, like you said, that second guy you feel really good about. Then you can kind of supplement it with Zeke. I think if you're in the later half of the first round there, I think you have too much of a gamble, too much risk for me.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the interesting thing is that I think was it Mike Florio this morning reported that Ezekiel Elliott might actually want. So it's who was it? It was Mike Florio. Mike Florio reported that he might play week one. So that means that his appeal, you know, there's something going on with that where it might get pushed back a little bit. We just hope that it doesn't get pushed back to the fantasy playoffs. That's what matters, right?
The ultimate dagger.
The ultimate dagger, exactly. You know, if he takes the hit in the beginning of the season, we know what we're expecting. But, yep. You know, it's a very fluid situation. So just make sure that if you're drafting Zeke, you either get a Mac McFadden. There's other guys, too, that can kind of come in. I like also taking gambles on guys like Doug Martin because he looked great in the preseason. It doesn't look like he's going to let this job go.
Now
he's the most talented back on that offense, and he is going to come back and say, hey, this is my job. I'm going to take it. So I like hedging my bet a little bit with Zeke. There are guys later on that you can pick up. Just kind of collect that depth at running back if you're going to go Zeke.
Absolutely. Compile running backs. I mean, that's been the thing I've seen a lot of people do is they bang out their wide receivers, 1, 2, 3, whatever, and then they load up. You get Blyle Powell, you get, you know, Carlos Hyde, CJ Anderson, Doug Martin. You start piling them up, and at some point, really, you just need one or two to pop, and you're golden.
Exactly. You mentioned Carlos Hyde. I mean, he is he's a great value right now. I think he's going in the fourth round of PPR leagues. This guy's a three down back. You know, there's a lot of talk about the rookie. There's a lot of talk about, you know, there's so many guys on that roster that, you know, they traded up for Kabri Bibbs.
Yep.
But it seems like once training camp started, once preseason started, there's nobody challenging him at this point. So he's injury prone, but, you know, he's a good guy to get late if you want to kind of get that running back depth.
I agree 100% because I was very wary of him in our early podcast. And, you know, people go back now, they're going to be like, well, you hated Carlos Hyde. And I did. But like you said, as preseason kind of rolled, and you know, again, I still worry about the injury, but when he's been healthy, he's been good. So again, health is the question, but for the price and for, like we said, the question marks all up and down the running back board, why not? He's got
exactly. And Joe Williams, you know, the rookie, he looks good, but remember, he's playing against like not inferior opponents in preseason, so he has some good numbers. So just kind of make sure that if you're trying to handcuff Carlos Hyde, I don't know if he really has one right now. It could be him. It could be Hightower. So, you know, I wouldn't really waste a roster spot on that handcuff.
I agree. Go Carlos Hyde and then let the chips fall as they may if he gets hurt. All right, Fraz, is there anybody else in here that you want to share with the audience? You've had their eye on. We could talk the Cameron Meredith injury, but I think the Bears are kind of the Bears. We'll see what happens with Kevin White there.
That's a very fluid situation. I mean, it could be Kevin White. You know, it could be Kendall Wright. We don't know who that, yep. And whoever it's going to be, it's going to be based on volume. So I wouldn't draft any of those guys in a standard league unless you're getting them super late. You know, PPR is kind of where it's at for those two.
Yep. So is there anybody else you've been watching on the boards where you love their ADP or they've gotten way too high for your likings kind of after falling in love a little earlier?
So, you know, I was watching the third preseason games and you know, kind of compiling all the preseason games, you know, I there's a couple guys that I like. One is Marvin Jones and the second is Ted Ginn Jr.
Okay.
So Marvin Jones right now, if I'm looking, he's going at the end of the eighth round in PPR leagues, closer to the ninth round. Yep. Now, if you watch the preseason, Matt Stafford, just like last preseason, you can see the rapport with him and Marvin Jones. He's targeting the crap out of Marvin Jones, for touchdowns in the red zone. And if you've noticed, Marvin Jones has one of the best feet in the NFL. If he's on the sideline, he is catching that ball and he is not going to be stepping out of bounds. He's going to get 2 feet in it and he's going out of bounds. So a lot of those catches that other wide receivers aren't going to make, he's going to make those catches. So I really like that, like that pick. Now, Marvin Jones fell off huge last year. He was huge for us, you know, in the first 4 weeks of the season, a little bit of the fifth game. But after that, huge fall off and Golden Tate took over. Now, the good thing about Marvin Jones is that he's being drafted later than last year.
Yes.
A lot of people are hurt because of that. So it's worth taking that risk at that point in the ADP. Once you get around those rounds, you kind of want to take a little bit of risk here and there. Take a little bit of a flyer. You never know. Marvin Jones can continue that. And they can continue that hot streak that they have with each other. And they could continue that throughout the season. So you want to kind of take that opportunity. The worst comes to worst is, hey, he has 3 or 4 huge games. You trade him, right? Sell him at his peak. You know, that's why not? You can probably get somebody who someone else drafted in the 4th or 5th round for someone who you drafted in the 9th.
Yeah, and even if, like you said, even if he busts at that price, oh well, it's a dart throw at that point anyway.
Exactly. And you have somebody who has wide receiver 1 upside, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what you're looking for. Similar to Devontae Parker, right? Somebody who has wide receiver 1 upside because Jay Cutler is going to target him, and we've seen his skills show up when Cutler's throwing him the ball, especially in this last preseason game. The other guy I wanted to bring up was Ted Ginn. Now, Ted Ginn right now is going in the 12th round, sometimes the 13th round, and I've seen him not get drafted. He is the starting wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints opposite Michael Thomas. It's not Willie Snead. Willie Snead's going to come in and play the slot, you know, on those 3 wide receiver sets. Now, one might think that, oh, the Saints always play 3 wide receiver sets. They don't. Most of the time, they're in 2 wide receiver sets, and yeah, they play a lot of 3 wide receiver sets too, but most of the time, they're playing 2 wide receiver sets. Now, if you've seen this last preseason game, Ted Ginn was being targeted like crazy from Drew Brees. Drew Brees was hitting him on short intermediate routes. On the first play of the game, Ted Ginn had a carry for like 30 or 40 yards. He looks good. He's an old man, but he can run. Ted Ginn is not Brandon Cooks. He's not. He's not. The talent level isn't there. Nope. But Drew Brees knows how to hit him on a dime. And if Ted Ginn's outrunning his defenders, Drew Brees is going to be able to hit him. Drew Brees targeted him on a couple of long passes during this preseason. And I think that he could be somebody who you can get really late that's actually pretty startable. It's a great offense. Not only that, I saw this stat where starting wide receivers for Drew Brees-led offense has never finished under the top 30 in for wide receivers. So I'm heavily targeting Ginn. I've drafted him in all my leagues so far. And, the good thing about drafting somebody in the 12th round is that I can reach a little bit in the 11th or something like that just in case other people are kind of targeting him. Because, if if he doesn't work out, it's okay. But you're kind of reaching for that upside. I think he could be a solid, high-end wide receiver 3.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, our team talked about him on our Saints podcast the other day, and they said the same thing. They're like, he's playing with realistically the best QB he's ever had with Drew Brees. And, I guess all it takes is one deep throw to Ginn that, he loves to burn it deep. And then, you dump it in and he ends up with a 70-yard touchdown. Clearly they want to have him involved. And the Saints are going to continue to sling the ball. So the opportunity is there, like you said, for the price. And even if you reach a little bit because you love him, you still can't beat it.
Exactly. And it's all about roster construction. If you've drafted a bunch of guys who are kind of stalwarts on your team and you know what you're getting out of them, why not throw Ted Ginn in your flex and go for that upside? What you're doing is you're creating a ceiling. You're kind of like taking that ceiling off of your team, and it's going to be really high when you put Ted Ginn in there because Drew Brees can hit him and change his output just on one play.
Yeah. Oh, and a lot of things, a lot of time people don't think about it, and especially early in the season, is those big plays and those big points, they make a difference, particularly because most teams, most leagues are decided by points when you have tied records at the end of the season. So that big play by Ted Ginn, because you played him versus, the safe guy that's going to get you 5 points, could be a difference. I'm not telling you to play the high-risk guy every time, but it's a nice bonus.
Exactly.
But all right, for us, that is going to do it for us here today. Guys, thank you for listening. We're going to thank Faraz here for joining us. You can check him out at upperhandfantasy.com, on Twitter at upperhandffb, and, of course, he's on Instagram. What was that, upperhandfantasy on Instagram?
Instagram is upperhandfantasy. Twitter was upperhandffb. I am on Twitter at Faraz Siddiqui, F-A-R-A-Z-S-I-D-D-I-Q-I. And Nick, do you mind if I mention one more thing?
Go for it.
So we have an Alexa skill coming out in the next couple of weeks. Kind of reach out for that. Basically, what you can do is you could ask, you can ask it, you know, who to start, things like that, and you know, it kind of goes off of some rankings. So it'll be like an easy way. If you haven't, if you have an Amazon Echo or a Dot, you'll be able to ask it some start sit questions.
You're talking to the perfect audience for us. We just got ours out there as well, so it seems to be the race to the Amazon Echo. So that's
awesome,
cool.
Awesome.
Guys, you'll find Upper Hand Fantasy on Amazon Echo soon enough. You can also find Let's Talk Fantasy Football on there as well. Guys, if you haven't been doing it, get mocking. It is time for fantasy football drafts. Week one will be upon us before you know it. For Let's Talk Fantasy Football, I am Nick Schreck, and we will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.